Galatians chapter 5. In Galatians chapter 5, and we're going to get back to around verse 20. That's kind of where we ended off last week. And we had talked about a number of different things as far as some things that was mentioned there in verse 19. And of course, kind of hit verse 16 a little bit again. And just as we were talking about walking in the Spirit, walking in the flesh, which is what this part of Galatians chapter 5 is dealing with. One of the things, of course, that we've seen and talked about there in verse 16 was talking about how whenever we want to, if we want victory in the Spirit, victory in our Christian life, what we got to do is we got to walk in the Spirit. That means we are walking in accordance, walking in agreement. We are in obedience to the Holy Spirit of God. And that since we are walking in the Spirit, that word "in" there symbolizes, has the idea that we are no longer in control. We are in agreement with the Holy Spirit of God. We are not in control. We are allowing the Holy Spirit of God to control our thought life. We are in submission to Him, and we are working in His power, walking in His strength, living in His strength. And so we can see the contrast in verses 16, and then also that he mentions there about walking in the Spirit, and then as he starts talking about walking in the flesh. Now, we understand that as Christians, of course, we're not perfect by no means, and just because we got saved don't mean we're not going to sin anymore. Just because we got saved doesn't mean we're going to do everything right. It doesn't mean any of those things. But what it does mean is that we have the Holy Spirit of God that lives and dwells within us, that is enabling us to give us the victory over our flesh and the things that we deal with throughout our life, victory over the devil, victory over sin, all these different kinds of things. Whereas when we're unsaved and we're just in the flesh, we don't have that strength. We don't have that power. We don't have that ability. But we're going to live in the natural state that we're in our sinful state. And so we see the contrast between the flesh and the Spirit. We'll see some of the things about walking the Spirit here in just a little bit, which was the Bible calls it the fruits of the Spirit. We hadn't got there yet. But we're focusing on the manifestation of the flesh. Now, as I said, as Christians, we know that we get in the flesh. But whenever we get in the flesh, we want to make sure that we're not living in the flesh. Does that make sense? We get into it from time to time because we know, listen, we're not perfect by no means, and it happens. We're a sinful people. But we want to make sure that we are not living in the flesh. But the contrast here, I think we can see in this part of the chapter, is not really necessarily so much as a Christian who can backslide and get in the flesh, but really a contrast between those that are saved and those that are lost. You know, you can see, we understand that as Christians we do get in the flesh, but we also see we're talking about a contrast from those that, listen, when we're saved and we're living for God, we should be walking for God, and then there are things that we do when we're walking for the Lord, when we're living for God and walking the Spirit, there is a way that we live and how we conduct ourselves. And whenever we're lost, there is a way that the lost world lives, and there is a way that the lost world conducts itself as well. And so we're kind of taking a look at that here tonight. We mentioned there in verse 19, last week in our Bible study, talking about how the first four sins that were mentioned. And there in verse 19, the Bible mentions, says, "Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, and lasciviousness." Now we talked about how the very first four things that the Apostle Paul mentioned there all had to do with sexual sin, had to do with sodomy and all different kinds of other sexual sins that deal with this kind of behavior. We went back to the book of Genesis and showed how Genesis chapter 4, how whenever whenever Cain got away from the Lord and he went out from the presence of God and dwelt in his own city, wanted to do things his own way. One of the very first things that he did was their city was known for polygamy, but also murder as well. So sexual sin took place, but then also murder took place. Then we went back to Romans chapter 1. And understood that, listen, whenever God shows people the light that they need about Him and creation and the light that they need to understand that He is God, and the people turned away from God, didn't want to acknowledge God as who He is, and wanted to create their own God, wanted to live their own way. And so what they did was, the Bible says, they by professing to be wise, they became fools, and they began to form their own gods, make their own gods. They themselves became their own gods. And when they walked away from the Lord, the Bible says that God gave them over to a depraved mind. And when that began to happen, the very first thing they got into was sexual sin. And so we can see that all across the board, from the very beginning, all the way to Galatians right here, and even now, what we see is that what the devil does everything he can to pull people away from God. And when he does that, one of the very first things he gets them involved in is sexual sin. A lot of other things, of course, are involved as well. A lot of these things, they work together to create these things. But the sexual sin is one of the things that comes out first and foremost. And we see that the Apostle Paul mentioned that there in verse 19. We look across society today. We see the same thing in society today. Our world is in a mess. Society is in a mess. Sexual sin is always to the forefront. The devil does everything he can to trip us all up every single day, right? He does everything he can to trip us all up every single day in these sins. And so we have to make sure that we are careful. Listen, there is more power at our fingertips now than I ever would have even thought possible that we would have whenever I was a teenager growing up. Listen, whenever I graduated high school, we didn't even have cell phones. And they didn't have cell phones. And I think it was about the time I was around 19, maybe 20 years old, maybe around 20, maybe something like that. They started having penny phones at Radio Shack that you could get. Remember those? But we didn't have cell phones. Man, I praise God we didn't have cell phones and Facebook and social media, all that back then, because I'd have made a fool out of myself, right? I praise God for that. And that's one of the reasons why I don't want my kids to have it now, because, listen, I don't want them to do what I probably would have done myself. So just trying to protect them with that. But anyhow, we can see that the sexual sin was out to the forefront. Verse 20, we talked about idolatry and what that was. Witchcraft, we went over that a little bit. And witchcraft just being really, in essence, the occult. Anything that worshiping things that are not, that don't have to do with God. Listen, if you're in idolatry, then you are, in essence, worshiping a false god, in essence. And so, but witchcraft, dealing with the occult, Satanism, we see that running rampant out here today. We see the devil's doing everything he can in the realm of Satanism, starting after school programs for kids that deal with Satanism, Satanism classes, Satanism for the little children that is going on, that's springing up, like the Good News Bible Club that's at the end of schools and at the end of the day. And so that is something that the Satanists have brought into the school system because, listen, if we have a Good News Bible Club and we're going to honor God and try to lead kids to Christ, then they want to have something that leads them away from that. And so the school systems have, many of them have allowed that to take place. But we see Satanism and the witchcraft and the occult just so prevalent and prominent. I've never seen today so many people running around trying to catch ghosts in all my life. All these shows you turn on, you got ghost hunters all over the place. You got people running around trying to catch ghosts, trap ghosts, see ghosts. Doing all these. Listen, ain't no such thing as a ghost. There are spirits and there is evil. But listen, when somebody dies, they're going to go of one of two places, and they're going to die and go to heaven, or they're going to die and go to hell, and their spirit isn't walking around on this planet. I can promise you that. And so we can see that throughout the scriptures. And listen, I've had people say, well, I've seen a manifestation of this person, or I've seen a manifestation. Well, you may have seen what looked like a person, but it wasn't that person. I can promise you that. It was the devil doing everything he can to trick the hearts and minds of folks to manifest himself in such a way that would draw you away from believing that there's an actual heaven and hell. Because if you had this idea that when you died, you didn't go to heaven, you didn't go to hell, no matter how good you was, and no matter how bad you was, all you did was just walk around on this earth, man, how miserable of an existence is that? Listen, I don't know about you, but I don't want to spend eternity knocking over pots and pans and shutting doors all the time and waking people up in the middle of the night. That's not how I want to spend my eternity. I don't want to do that. So I'm glad that there's a heaven. I'm glad that there's a place that I can look forward to going to when I die. And I know I'm going to be there. And I know that whenever you die, people that are saved, that's where they go. And when they die lost, they die and they go to a devil's hell. And I don't want to say that, but that is the truth. That is where they go. When people die lost, you're going to go to a devil's hell. So there's only one or two places that you're going to do. You're not going to run around here You're not going to, you know, spooking people and scaring people. And listen, I know we miss people. You know, they pass away and they move on. And I know we miss them and stuff. But listen, they're not floating around here watching over us and all that. Listen, they're in heaven. Amen. Our loved ones, if they're saved, they're in heaven. And we praise God for that. Because listen, I don't want them to come down here and deal with the rest of this mess. I mean, listen, when I die, I go to heaven. I don't want to come back here and deal with all this. Amen. And I don't think they wouldn't either. And so we see all that different kind of stuff. And, you know, we talked about the tarot cards and the Ouija boards and all this stuff. Man, it's just so prevalent in our society today. And then the next thing we're going to take a look at is, man, take a look at that. The Bible mentions there in verse 20, it talks about hatred. Now, if there is something that we can look around in society today and see that is definitely prevalent in our time, and of course it always has been, but I tell you what, when you look around and we see all the things that's going on, we just see hatred all over the place. Hatred for people for no reason at all. I mean, there's just a hate for people out here in this world today that is unlike, I believe, maybe perhaps things I have really seen as a child growing up. Granted, as a little child, I didn't maybe pay attention to a lot of some of this stuff. But I tell you what, when I look around society today, it just seems like it's constantly getting more meaner and meaner and meaner and more aggressive and more vile and more evil and more disgusting. And there in the verse, there in verse 20, the Bible tells us that there is idolatry, witchcraft, and hatred. And hatred is what? It is a work of the flesh. There in verse 19, when we exhibit hatred in our life, it is something that the Bible says that we are. It is a manifestation of an individual who is walking in the flesh. The Bible also shows us in the book of 1 John, I believe, tells us that hatred is one of those things that leads to what? Murder, right? Hatred is one of those things that leads to murder, because normally if you hate somebody, then you're going to kill them. Oftentimes, that's the way it is. But some people, listen, because they're just incontinent, because they're out of control, they just kill people for no reason, right? They don't have to have a reason. They're just evil and wicked anyway, just like what we've seen happen in the school system the other day. Yesterday, we seen a man go in, and I don't know all the details of it right now, and who knows if we ever will, but there was some little bit of things I did read, was that he wasn't going to school, and he was gonna fail, wasn't going to graduate with his class, and he was mad and upset about a bunch of different things, and he killed his grandmother, went in, killed, 19 kids and I think two teachers, I think that's what it was. And I mean, for no reason. I mean, he probably absolutely knew none of these kids at all, and just walked in and just completely shot up and killed everybody. Just evil. I mean, not because he necessarily hated them, but just because he may have just hated life. Maybe he hated his own life. Maybe he hated the way things was just going for himself. And so he just come out and just made everybody else miserable, made everybody else sorrowful. And what a tragedy that is. And so we just see hatred in general. Whether it's a hatred that we possess in ourselves for somebody, or whether it's a hatred that we have for just life in general, and we're just going to, and they're just allowing the devil to use them and energize them to cause as much pain and sorrow as possible. Listen, that's exactly what the devil does. The Lord Jesus said the devil came to steal, kill, and destroy, and that's exactly what he's doing. And he'll use anybody that's willing to be a tool for that. And there in verse 20, we see idolatry, witchcraft, and hatred. Hatred on every single scale. No matter who you are, no matter where you're from, I mean, no matter what country you're in, just hatred all across the globe. And we're living during that time. Hold your place right here and just turn over real quickly. Go over to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, and we'll begin there in verse 1. And you've heard this passage read numerous times. I know you've heard a lot of preaching on it, but it just kind of goes along, I think, with all the things that we've seen and witnessed and heard, everything that's going on in our day. The Bible says there in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." In other words, dangerous, difficult times. He says, "For men shall be lovers of their own self, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, that's sodomy there, and homosexuality, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, in other words, out of control, fierce despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, and having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. And the Bible says in the last days, these are some things we're going to see. These are some things that we are going to witness. And listen, I think we've been seeing these things for a long time. But you know what? The longer that we go and the longer that the Lord Jesus tarries, we can see that it seems like every single day, every single month, every single year, it becomes increasingly more just like the days of Noah. Becomes increasingly more. The hearts of many growing cold and the hatred and all the things that people have towards each other, and many for no reason at all. They just hate somebody just because they themselves are just filled with hate. And the Bible shows us there in Galatians chapter 5 that one of the things that describes someone who is walking in the flesh, someone who is living in the flesh and walking in the flesh, is someone who has hatred in their heart. Hatred in their heart. The Bible also goes on to say, not just to mention hatred, but also to mention variance. Variance has the idea of just discord or at enmity with each other, against each other. People that are at variance with each other. Listen, we see a lot of that in our political system today. I mean, you know, just variance against all across the board. Everybody's doing everything they can to backstab each other. Everybody's doing everything they can to smear each other. Everybody's doing everything they can to make each other look bad. I mean, it is just insane the things that's going on in our political system. But not just that. But you see, listen, you see all that happen on Facebook. Next thing you know, people just throwing out all their business and all their news out there, and they're bickering and fighting back and forth all over social media. And it's, you know, you look at it and you're just like, man, what are y'all doing? What are y'all doing? People just at variance with each other. The world's kingdoms, leaders fighting against each other, at variance with each other for all different kinds of reasons. Many of it's just for hatred. Some of it's, of course, for idolatry. Many of it's just, some of it just filled with the devil. And the Bible says that variance is one of those things at enmity. We see lots of enmity going on around, not just in our political society, but we just see people in general, people just against each other and hate each other for all different kinds of a multitude of reasons tonight. Just at enmity and at variance with each other, at odds with each other. The Bible also goes on to say, not just at variance, but the Bible goes on to say that one of the other ways that we can see the manifestation of an individual that is walking in the flesh is emulation. You say, what is emulation? Well, emulation has a lot to do with jealousy. Some of these things, as I said, they walk hand in hand together. But emulation is a type of jealousy. It is one of those things that says you get jealous and envious over something good that happened to somebody, and maybe that person gets lifted up, or maybe that person gets praised for it, and then you get mad at them because they're receiving praise. You get mad at them because something good happened to them. You get angry and develop maybe a hatred in your heart for that person, maybe perhaps because something good happened to them, or because God blessed them, or something like that. And so this emulation, this type of jealousy begins to build up in your heart because you are mad and upset that something good happened to somebody else and it didn't necessarily happen to you. And you're mad and upset about that. And the Bible says that emulation, being filled with this emulation, which is type of jealousy, which is a strong type of jealousy that is emulation that can lead to a hatred, which is, I think, one of the things that we can also see happen to Cain and Abel. Now, Cain, he was extremely jealous of his brother. And the reason why he was jealous of his brother was because why? Because God accepted his offering. God accepted Abel's offering, and so he was filled with enmity, he was filled with emulation, he was filled with this type of jealousy that was upset and angry that God accepted him and he didn't accept him, and so he was angry about that, and that ultimately led to what? Ultimately led to Cain slaying his brother. Ultimately led to murder. And so we can see emulation. The next thing we see, of course, is then wrath. When you think about wrath, what is wrath? Well, wrath is one of those, almost like one of those, you pour out, in essence, almost everything that you got. Wrath is one of those things where you're not really holding back. Now, I understand, listen, when God talks about He's going to judge or pour out His wrath, listen, if God poured out all His wrath, nothing would ever exist anymore. Nothing would ever even exist. So, we understand that whenever the Bible talks about that, God pouring out His wrath, you know, because God could do all things, He could just take everything away. There is still a measure of patience in the midst of God's wrath. But in talking about us tonight, when we're walking in the flesh and wrath comes upon us, what is often that we do? We give it everything we got and we don't hold anything back. You get to that, you ever felt like sometimes you was getting to that boiling point? Where you just couldn't do anymore, you couldn't take anymore, and you was getting ready to do what? Explode. You're getting ready to explode and make a mess, and that's what wrath does. Wrath explodes, it makes a mess, it is vehement to a very heated degree. One of those things that when wrath goes out, you can't take it back, you can't pack it back in. It's kind of like getting a tin out or getting your sleeping bag out of the case, you can't put it back. It's one of those things. You do everything you can to try to pack all that back in, but once it's out, it's just out. You know, you take your sleeping bag out, you just throw the rest of it away because you're never going to get it back in that bag. You just roll the bag up. That wrath, that uncontrollable boiling point that we reach that just explodes and goes out. The wrath has wrath in that moment. It is not concerned with feelings. It's not concerned with any kind of love and forgiveness. It's not concerned at that moment with any kind of consequences that may come. Wrath is in that moment where it's almost like you have, in essence, lost control of yourself, that you're not even there, and now all that anger and bitterness and everything has just taken over. You're not even thinking anymore, and everything's just kind of coming out. And cause a lot of damage. The next thing we see, of course, we see the variance, we see the wrath, we also see the strife here. Strife. Just conflict. Conflict in general. We look around this world, man, we just see strife all over the place. Now, we understand there are different levels of it. Now, wrath is strife, yes, but wrath is a different kind of strife. But just strife in general, I mean, sometimes there's just a lot of little bickering and arguing everywhere. Does that make sense? And that strife that just gets built up that leads to that leads to that variance. You know, you kind of like Paul said, you know, and a little bit over, whenever he said there in verse 15, when he said, first you're going to start out with a bite. And the next thing you know you're going to do is you're going to take a bigger chunk and you're going to start to devour. And the next thing you're going to do is you're going to consume. Well, I think that's kind of what you see here. You can kind of see that in the variance and in the wrath and in the strife is, you know, you start biting each other a little bit. And then the next thing you know, you start engulfing each other a little bit more. And you start getting more hateful and you start getting more at odds with each other until eventually you just get to the point where you just ultimately just blow up and explode and you consume each other. And that strife there, just conflict in general, just people backbiting, people fighting, people slandering each other and talking about each other and all these different kinds of things. And listen, the Apostle Paul says, listen, just understand, when you are doing those types of things, if you are doing this right here, you're not living in the Spirit. You're walking in the flesh. You're living in the flesh. So strife. The Bible tells us in the book of Proverbs, I believe, that is only by pride cometh contention. There in chapter 19, we also see right after strife, we see sedition. Now, what is sedition? Well, sedition's just like sedition's rebellion. It's rebellion. Rebellion against who? Well, it could be rebellion against your fellow man. It could be rebellion against your country. It could be rebellion against God, just rebellion in general, sedition. In rebellion against authority. And we look around, then we look at there in 2 Timothy that we just read, we can see a nation, we can see a people, we can see a world that is living in rebellion against God. I was sitting on the couch last night, and I was actually going over this message and studying through all these different things and praying and all of this Amy and Brianna had been watching something on YouTube. I can't remember what it was, and because we don't really watch that much TV. We just, you know, kind of got the little Fire Stick, and we'll watch YouTube or a little bit something on there. We can kind of control some of that stuff. But I was just sitting there, and they had done fell asleep. And so I'm just sitting here, and I'm just kind of reading my thing. Well, it just started playing different things, you know, and nothing bad was coming on. But then, all of a sudden, this commercial came on. And it was this commercial that was dealing with homosexuality and transgender. And I mean, it was enough to make me sick to my stomach. And it was just a show that was just, I mean, I don't remember if it was the name of a movie that was coming out or if it was a show that was coming out or something like that. But anyways, it was some kind of series. But I was looking at it and I was like, are you serious? And then I was looking right down at my Bible. And I was looking right up at the TV. And I was looking down at my Bible. And I was looking up at the TV. And I was just like, wow, there it is. It's right there. I mean, I'm studying the scriptures, and it's right there coming across my TV screen. And I was just blew away about it. I mean, I know it's out there. I know it's out there, but the thing is we see this stuff that comes across our face all the time. And the devil is using all these different things to do what? To bring sedition, to bring division, to bring strife, to bring variance, to bring all these different things. Sedition. Bring rebellion. I mean, we saw a lot of rebellion. I mean, we see a lot of rebellion now. I mean, it happens every day, but whenever 2020 was going on, and we saw all the rebellion in that. I mean, in other tragedies and other just different things that's happened in our own country. We've seen rebellion happen on many different scales in many different ways throughout this nation and its history. Rebellion. The Bible says, listen, we're walking in the flesh, living in the flesh, when we are walking in rebellion, in sedition. Next thing you know, he says there in verse 20, mentions heresies. Oh, what exactly is heresy? Well, that would be a teaching of false doctrine. And listen, don't we see that going on all across America today? I mean, there's all kinds of teaching. You don't know what in the world you're going to get yourself. Listen, if you go to a Bible-believing church, if you go to a Bible-believing, Bible-practicing, Bible-preaching church, then you have actually found something. I'm telling you, you've actually found something because it's not out there everywhere. I mean, it's just not out there everywhere, you know. And me, just always, you know, I'm always in the pulpit. I don't travel around, and I don't see everything that everybody does, and I don't hear everything that's being preached, and you know, and I don't really pay attention to a whole lot of what everybody else is doing and what everybody else is saying. I'm just trying to mind my. Listen, I got enough to look out for right here. Right. I got enough to look out for right here, so I don't get in everybody's business, and I don't know what all is going on, and I don't know what all is being said, and quite frankly, I don't want to get into all that, but I do want to make sure that I understand. But I do understand. I'm not ignorant. I do know that there's things out there that's being taught and preached and said from pulpits and all across America that is just heresy. I mean, it is heresy. I mean, teaching all kinds of foul things about our Savior. I mean, doing everything they can to just divert people away from the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Heresy being taught across the pulpits. And the Bible says there in chapter 5, there in verse 20, that one of the things that we'll see is someone who's walking in the flesh is they're teaching heresy. They are leading people away from the truth. They're teaching things that are not right. They're teaching things that are against God, teaching things that are against His Word. Heresy. Listen, just because, and you've heard me say this before, but just because a church has a steeple on it, it don't mean anything. And you can call it a Baptist church if you want to. It still don't necessarily mean it means anything. Now, I know that, listen, I like the idea of calling myself a Baptist church. Baptist has been trusted for a long time. But I tell you what, as Baptist continues to move forward, man, you get this split off of this kind of Baptist, this kind of Baptist, this kind of Baptist, this kind of Baptist, and next thing you know, you look around and you're thinking, man, y'all lost your marbles. I mean, there's just because it's got a Baptist name to it doesn't necessarily mean anything anymore, because you got Baptist churches around here that are teaching a lot of heresy. Teaching a lot of heresy. I mean, you know, one of the things that really, of course, there's a lot of them, but one of the things that really gets me the most that I've seen a lot of damage done And I'm not going to park on this very long, but we've taught on it and preached on it years ago, is Calvinism. And that is one of the things that just completely, just really, once it gets rooted in somewhere, man, I tell you what, that stuff is just kind of hard to get out. That stuff is kind of, I don't believe in Calvinism. Don't believe in any of the points of it. I'm not a one-point Calvinist, a two-point Calvinist. Listen, I'm a Biblicist. I believe what Jesus said. I believe what the Bible says. And I'm just telling us that, listen, when Calvinism gets in and other heresies get into the church, I don't want nothing to do with it. I've seen it destroy. I've seen it bring down all kind, different kinds of things. And I don't believe the philosophy. I don't believe the ideology. Don't believe the ideology. Don't believe the theology. Don't believe any of it. And it is one of those things that destroys churches. I've seen it time and time and time again, but not just Calvinism, but many other different things. And just heresies being taught. There in verse 21, we'll stop with this right here. The Bible ends up, the Bible talks about in verse 21, talks about envyings. Envyings. What does that mean? If you're envious of someone, are you jealous? Yes. But you're also resentful. It kind of carries a connotation too of covetousness as well. You're resentful that they have something. You don't want them to have it. You want it. You're mad that they got it because it's something that you want. And so you are just resentful. You are at envy of something that somebody else possesses. It could be anything. It could be a husband. It could be a wife. It could be a family. It could be a car. It could be a house. Man, it could be all different kinds of things. Covetous works really well in with this. And so, envyings. Listen, there's a lot of people out there that are jealous of and envious and develop emulation over things that people have in the life that they live. But listen, sometimes if you only knew what was going on behind closed doors, you'd consider yourself blessed. Because just because somebody's driving around this, and just because they live in that, and just because they got a smile on their face here, doesn't mean everything. You don't always know what's going on behind the scenes. So you see the envyings, and of course then there you got the murders. I mean, I don't know what the murder rate in Chicago was last weekend, but it's usually around anywhere between 30 and 50 normally. I mean, every single weekend. And that's just in one place. I'm not talking about all across the United States or even across the world. I mean, the murder rate has skyrocketed. I mean, everything's going on. I mean, ever since the whole 2020 thing, everything's just skyrocketed. Everything's going up, whether it's murders, suicides, robberies, all these things have skyrocketed. Sin in general has just increased by major percentages. And that's just the things that we know about. And then watch this. Drunkenness. Drunkenness. The Bible says that whenever we know that we're walking in the flesh and living in the flesh, when we are living in drunkenness, the alcoholic stuff. And listen, if there was one thing I'd do, and some people would say, well, I don't know, preacher, but if there was one thing I'd do is I'd run Virginia dry. But I wouldn't just run Virginia dry, I'd run the whole United States dry. And you say, well, what about all that money that would go to, what about all them tax dollars? What about all of that stuff? Listen, I'd save the money that the people are spending not having to go to the hospital, they're not in the wrecks, and I'd save more lives because people wouldn't be out getting drunk. And then all those people, they'd still be alive and they'd still be doing things. Listen, I wouldn't want to, not to run the country dry just because of money purposes, but because I know it's the right thing to do. I can't stand alcohol. I can't stand it a bit. It is one of the, of course, there's a lot of things, but it is one of those things that really grates me. Because I've seen so many families and I've seen so many people that have been torn apart by it. And it's just, it doesn't do anybody any good. And I think the Bible speaks against it. I don't think the Bible's for it. But drunkenness, revelings, and we'll stop with this one. Revelings. You say, well, what is reveling? Well, reveling is it's kind of like being in a party and you're there and you're just excessively doing things, whether it's eating or drinking, getting drunk, doing things such as in that kind of sinful nature. Going to being in a reveling where things are, where you're in a position, you're in a place where you know you ought not be, but you're there anyway, and there's all kinds of sinful things that's going on around you, and you're just taking part in all the festivities, and you're taking part in all the activities, whether it's drinking, whether it's drugs, whether it's sexual things, or whether it's anything that's going on around you, whether it's eating, all the different kind of stuff, taking part in everything that's going on around you, being a part of the revelings. Listen, I tell you what, there was a lot of people that just didn't go to take part in the revelings. There probably would have been a lot of other things that never happened too. You know, just think about it. Sometimes things happen to us because we are just putting ourselves in the wrong place. Sometimes we put ourselves in the wrong place. Listen, I know I shouldn't go there, but I went there anyway. And when you went there, you knew it wasn't the right thing. You knew it was a bad idea. You knew it was sinful. You knew sinful things was going to be there. But you went there anyway, and what did it do? What did it do? Got you in trouble. This happened, this happened, this happened, this happened. And then you told yourself, man, if I'd have never been here, this would have never happened. If I'd have been in the right place. I mean, you think about David. If David would have been in the right place, things would have been different for him too. Listen, the devil's always looking for an opportunity. Devil's always looking for an opportunity. Revelings there. And notice what he says. Revelings and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So we can see, because we're, if you're saved tonight, we know nothing can take away your salvation. We get that. That's why I said earlier, we can, by way of application, understand that as Christians, we can get in the flesh sometimes. We get that. But when you're living a life, and you're walking a life that is consistent with this kind of living, every day, and you have no desire to pull out of, this is what you want, this is how you live, this is what you desire in your life, this is what you want to do, this is what you call God, this is what characterizes you in your life, this is what you're doing. The Bible says these kind of people, they're living this kind of life, obviously shows that you're not saved. Now, I didn't say that a Christian at some time, at some point, can't get jealous, can't have envy, can't do all. I didn't say that. But what I am saying is this, is that whenever our life is characterized by these things, and this is the way that we're living, and we're not repenting, and we're not turning away from it, and we're just, this is our life. This characterizes us, and there is no conviction about it, and we're not asking God for any forgiveness at all. It seems that this kind of life characterizes us as a person that's lost, and a person that is lost will not inherit the kingdom of God. And so I just think it's just important that as God's people, that as we live our Christian life, that we understand the difference between living in the Spirit and walking in the flesh. And I think the reason why Paul brought this out was because of verse 17. Well, other things as well. Well, I mean, verse 15. But because he says, but if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you not be consumed of one another. He saw what they were doing. He saw how they were living. And he says, listen, you're going to have to make a difference between walking in the Spirit and walking in the flesh. What are you? Are you saved? Are you lost? Because I'm looking around, I'm seeing what you're doing, and I'm kind of wondering about this. And we read a couple of chapters back, and we saw the Apostle Paul. He was looking at them people, and he was thinking, you know what? I don't know. Do we need to start over with this thing? So just kind of something to think about as we live in our Christian life and understanding what walking in the flesh and walking in the Spirit is. Now, next week, we'll get into the fruit of the Spirit. And we'll get into some really nice things. Let's pray. Father, we come to you once again tonight. Thank you, God, for your blessings. Lord, I pray here this evening, Lord, that you would just bless our night. Lord, keep us safe as we go home. And Lord, I just ask God tonight that you would just continue to surround our young people, Lord, in the schools that they're in and all the things that they go through. And Lord, they need protection. And God, we pray. I know we're ending the year, and some may already have. But God, nonetheless, our young people need protection. And we're asking God that you just build a hedge about them, Lord, that you'd keep them safe. And the things that they do and where they go, and even over the summertime, and Lord, just in their life in general, just help us to exhibit Christian character in our life. And Lord, I pray that you would bless our night, keep us safe as we go home. and bring us back to our next appointed time on Sunday. And this we pray and ask in Jesus' name. Amen.